Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand that finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon. I'm a certified financial planner and a fiduciary over the resources that my clients entrust that we manage for them. And I'm excited because today, as we start this beginning of a new year, we want to get back to the basics. I want to spend the month of January on this program. I'm really focusing in on the three components that are critical in understanding how money works. We need to understand, yes, the mechanical process, which is what most people focus on. That's all that data and how you put the spreadsheets in order and how we look at the numbers. That is important. But we also need to understand that there is an emotional component to money, meaning how we think about money. There's actually a quiz that we're going to go over during the month of January that shows whether you view money as control, money as freedom, money as a way that you express yourself or a status. There's different ways that money portrays itself in your life. Everyone has a financial mentality in the way they view money, and that way that they view it impacts all the data that they start sitting down to work with because it drives the choices that they make. So we want to make sure that we understand when we're looking at how money works. We're going to talk about, yes, the mechanical process. Yes, we're going to talk about the emotional process, how we think about it. But there's also a spiritual process when it comes to money, where we can begin to evaluate the resources that we've been given, the health that we've been given to go and create wealth. How is that money being used to take care of yourself, your family, your loved ones, maybe your community? And then how are you planning to use it, furthering the kingdom of God? So there's all the different components that come in. We want to do it in a balanced way, right? We don't want to just be saying, hey, we're going to put all focus just on one area. In order to have a nice comprehensive plan, not only do we need to do all the data, but we also need to make sure that when we're looking at finances, we're looking at all three areas: spiritual, emotional, and mechanical. And so where we're going to start today, we're going to start with the mechanical process, the 1 + 1 = 2. But here's the deal. I'm going to say it again. Money is more than just the numbers. It's more than just the data, because if it was as simple as 1 + 1 = 2, hey, we'd all be rich sitting on a beach somewhere. But because money isn't just numbers, that's why many people may never even visit a beach somewhere. So let's boil this down and let's take the first step and let's talk about how money works. You know, a lot of times we get calls here at the office at Crystal Clear Finances where individuals are saying, you know, Crystal, are there some books that I can read? You know, what can I be listening to? What podcasts? And we are happy to go through that. We want to make sure, besides our own podcast and YouTube channel, we also want to make sure we're promoting where you can get good, solid information, because our goal is that you would be able to live and give in the manner God's called you, that you would have that confidence for every financial decision you make. You'd be like, yep, I know that. I heard Crystal talk to me about that. And this is the path that I want to go. Well, one of the books that we do recommend is by Robert Kiyosaki. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I wish you could see me in the studio today, because you would see that I have his book. You would see that I have his cash flow quadrant. You would see the cash flow tournament game, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But the reason why I like this book is he breaks it down in a very simple format and helps you understand that when you're looking at money from the mechanical, the data process, that you need to look at some key components. You need to understand what your cash flow, what your income is, and then you need to be able to understand what your expenses are. And then you're going to be able to transition that into another area, which talks about passive and residual income. But the problem is, many times we're not aware of the first two components. We kind of have a hazy idea. Yeah, this is kind of how much I make. And yeah, I think this is kind of how much I spend. And when we have that hazy approach to it, there are areas where money is slipping through your hands unknowingly and unnecessarily. I mean, you have worked hard for every penny you've earned. And so we want to make sure that there is a plan for it. Now, the plan might just be, hey, you're going to get to have date night. Maybe that's what the plan is. So it's not always about sticking everything into savings and everything into investments. But we do want to be aware, and we want to know where everything's going so that you have the choice. So let's go back to this example of what Robert Kiyosaki talks about. And I'd like you to visualize in your mind a big square, and then I'm going to have you draw middle right through the half of it. So that the top half of that square, that's income. And that's what, as we know, makes the world go round. We've got to have that income. And what happens is, for most individuals, they have a job that creates that income. If they don't go to their job, well, at least in the past, if you didn't go to your job, you didn't get paid. Nowadays, it's a little bit fuzzy, but the way it should work is that if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. That type of principle is what that job, if it's connected to a job. So for those of you who already have passive income, for those of you who have businesses, I understand that's a whole new dynamic. We'll get there in a moment. But for the first core step, when someone graduates from high school, graduates from college, you got to create income from a job, that you take that income, and that's what pays the expenses, which is the lower part of that square. So very simply, if you want to do nuts and bolts and nothing fancy, you've got to know how much income is coming in from your job and what are your expenses. I had a conversation just the other day with one of our clients, and she is a phenomenal saver, but she was in a quandary. She's like, Crystal, this feels so uncomfortable to me, because now that she's moved back to the States, now that she's working a different job and they're paying her different than what she was receiving before on a weekly basis, and where she knew where all her bills were, now she's in flux right now. And she says, it's so uncomfortable not knowing exactly what I'm making, what my bills are, so I don't know how I can save and how I'm progressing on my financial plan. And that's why understanding what your income is and what your expenses are so important. We want to make sure that we're aware. You know, I've got another situation, it's a little bit sad, where an individual, we met with this couple just the other day, they've been great clients, and they're extremely wealthy. And so they don't have a budget. They don't have anything, because there's always enough money for whatever they need. And I kept saying, hey, that's great, but we really should sit down with all these businesses you own. They have about 7 different businesses. With all these businesses that you own, and know, okay, so you can project it's X amount of thousands, or let's just say 10,000 each month is what's coming from each one of your businesses, and it costs 5,000 to run each one of those businesses. So we can see what the net result is. No, we don't have to go down to the very penny if you don't want to. I realize there's surplus, there's other things you should be focusing on, but you do need to have a CPA, a QuickBooks team, a group that can come alongside and give you a report every month. Now, I know, just for myself, a little segue here, I do. I have a team that gives me a report every month, and I look weekly, even I know I look daily, but every week I'm doing a report on my P&L of what's going on, what came in, what went out, and that's helping me in making my decisions of what we're going to do as a team, what we're doing as an office, and where we're going. It's always fun at the end of the year to be able to look at it and say, okay, where are we going to be gifting? So a lot of fun comes from that, but it comes from knowing what your income is and then knowing what your expenses are. Well, in this case, I had kept strongly encouraging, just every time we talked, that little gentle nudge, not too much to frustrate them, but enough to say, hey, you really need to know what your income and expenses are. So long story short, they just had to fire an individual because they found out there was embezzlement. That's huge, folks. And really what it was only because they didn't know what was coming in or what was going out. They just knew bills were being paid. They trusted a lot of people. But as I kept nudging, they finally said, okay, here, we're going to give you the P&L for each one of our businesses so we can start looking at this together. I was quarterbacking getting a CPA involved. And that's when they noticed huge withdrawals, things coming out, things being moved from different accounts to another. Horrible, horrible situation. But it all goes back to a foundational truth, which is what I'm talking to you about today, that no matter where you are in the sphere of finances, whether there's so much surplus you feel like you don't need to pay attention to it, which was the case for this client, or whether you feel like, listen, there's barely enough, I need to pay attention to every penny. The skill set of being able to do that is extremely important. We can't expect that we're going to have abundance if we don't have the financial principles in place, because if we get to that place where there is abundance, it can slip through our hands, like I'm seeing happen for this one couple. Unknowingly, they didn't know it. It was unnecessarily that it happened. And now they're bringing it back into place. So what are they doing? They're getting their QuickBooks in order. They're going to be able to now hire a team where because they feel very burned, they're looking at it every day. But at minimum, once a week, they're sitting down together as a couple and looking over all their businesses. And then as a month, running the monthly P&L, comparing it to the year before. Now, I know if you don't own a business, you might say, well, that's overkill. Crystal, I don't need all of that. But I can tell you this. It is important for you, just without a business, to have a P&L. My husband had a trucking company for the longest time, had several tractor trailers. He finally got to the place where he sold it. It is a young man's job, right? To be climbing up and down these tractor trailers and doing the car hauling. And so he sold his business. Well, when he sold it, well, there was capital gains. It was a good time to sell it. And we're looking at this saying, okay, we really don't want to pay one penny more on taxes than we need to. How can we creatively be able to position things? Well, at that time, they were giving out credits for if you used alternative energy. And we were able to pull our household P&L and say, wow, look how much money we spend on electric. I wonder if there's a way we can do alternative energy, if there's something out there. And sure enough, we were able to put in a geothermal system in our house. Yes, we dug trenches in the backyard, or I should say George did with the excavator, and put that all in. And we were able to use resources to put into the geothermal system and yet still get tax credits. And it was a great way to navigate through the sale of one company and yet improvement in another area and a grant from the government. So these are ways that we can begin moving forward. And a business wasn't really, well, I guess the sale of a business was involved. But when you look at it, it was because I had the P&L for our personal finances that we were able to review it and say, what are things here that seem high? What are options that we have? And we began to brainstorm. So I would encourage you, wherever you're at least take one day a week. Maybe it's Saturday morning, you get that blueberry flavored cup of coffee and you sit down together and you say, listen, we're going to put a time limit on it. I know that's what I do with George and I, because I could talk all day about finances, but I say, all right, let's set a time limit on it. And we're going to go over what were the bills that went out today, what was the income that went out this week, and what's our P&L look like so far. And then I always ask, what does it look like in comparison to last year? I'll tell you what, with all the inflation, with all the changes that are happening and gas and electric going up 50%. Yeah, there's quite a difference when we run our P&L for when you look back in the past years. But knowing this helps us begin to creatively think, all right, then how do we pivot and make this affordable? So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick 60-second break, then we're going to come back and there'll be more of Crystal Clear Finances. But I want you to really think on that. Is this the year in 2022 that you finally say, okay, we're going to sit down once a week and we're going to find some type of software that helps us? Doesn't have to be QuickBooks. It can be Mint. It can be some other type of software. We'd be happy to talk to you about that. But get it in place so that you can see right where you're at. Because once you know where you're at, then you can begin to plan for the growth that should be coming. And we'll be back in just 60 seconds with more Crystal Clear Finances. The world is changing, and what worked before with finances may not work now. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. With economic, political, and global changes happening daily, it's easy to make reactional decisions or choose to ignore finances altogether. Neither one is a good idea. Working with a faith-based financial planner who understands finances and the shifting dynamics of our economy can provide you the direction and confidence needed to navigate the daily financial changes. Call Crystal Clear Finances at 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every financial decision. And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is Crystal Langdon, and as always, it is a pleasure to be here with you. Today, we are talking about the importance of understanding how money works. And we're going to spend the whole month of January really focusing on this topic. And what I've seen in the past is most people think, oh, if we're going to talk about numbers, it's just going to be one plus one. It's going to be the data. It's going to be dry. Well, that's your perspective if it's going to be dry. But the point of the matter is, no, numbers and understanding how money works is not just numbers. There's a mechanical process, yes, the data, but there is an emotional process, which is how your financial mentality, how you look at finances that drives things. And then there's a spiritual mentality when it comes to finances. And we're going to go through each one because they're so important. Today, yes, today we're focusing on the data component, and we'll probably stay here for either this week and next week. We're going to make sure we take the time so that we can cover the foundations of it. And then we'll move on to understanding the different quizzes that we offer that can help you see, gee, do I look at finances as my security, as control, as enjoyment, as safety? And you begin to identify how that does your actions. And then, of course, we'll talk about the spiritual, which is so scary because sometimes people just throw up their hands and say, ah, don't worry about it. God will take care of me. But there is action that you have to take. So don't go there. So let's jump back into what we were talking about before the break. And what we were talking about was the fact that we need to have that cash flow budget. What's the amount coming in and what's the amount coming out, whether you have two nickels to rub together or like the example I gave where you had millions and now realize money is gone. So once you understand what's coming in and what's coming out, the next component is you realize, okay, so it's my job that's creating my income, and you want to make sure that the income is greater than the outflow. And if it's not, well, then of course, then you want to reduce expenses. What are the things that I don't need? Or you can sell maybe one of the assets that you have to get the bills off your back and get it back into alignment. Or the third thing you can do is you can increase your income. So you've got some options there when it comes to it. But I just said a word that I want to kind of pause for a moment when I talked about assets. So what is an asset? And the flip side of that is, what is a liability? Because what happens is many times in life, we use our income, we pay our expenses, and then we buy liabilities thinking they're assets and then wonder why it doesn't work. So let me give you an example. An asset is something that can generate income for you, something that you can use that will be able to, if you don't go to work that day, it'll still provide income. So let's pretend you bought an apartment building, right? You bought the apartment building, you spent the time, you went through the expense of getting everything fixed in it, and now you've got a tenant in there. And that tenant is giving you $1,000 a month or $2,000, whatever the rent is. You figure out what your mortgage is, and hopefully there's $500, $250, the minimum, at least of profit that's in there. Now, if you don't go to work next week, if you go on vacation next week, does your tenant still have to pay you the rent at the end of the month? Yeah. Well, they're supposed to. And again, I know the last 2 years, have been utterly crazy in regards to people not having to pay their rent, which they really do. They're just being postponed, but they are supposed to be paying it all back. It's just on pause, but it's still, the ticker's still going. It's still adding up, but we won't even go into that field. What we do need to look at is to realize that real estate could be an asset. It could be something that generates income even when you're not at your job. Why is that important to know? Because when you're at your job right now, creating income and then paying your expenses, whatever's left over should be building. You should be using it to build assets so that someday when you say, Crystal, I am tired and no longer want to go to my job, or if you're in a position that many Americans are in that are saying, no, I'm not going by their restrictions and I'm leaving my job, you want to have assets that can create an income stream for you so you're not dependent upon the job. And to me, that's a huge aha moment. If we can understand, I know since the time we've been born, growing up, they have taught us, listen, you have to grow up. You got to get a job so you can pay your bills. And if you want to buy more things, just get a better job so you can pay bigger bills. And we've kind of have this thought process that we're supposed to have this job till we're like 65 or 67. And then at that time, we will hopefully have saved a little bit of money plus Social Security, and we'll eke out an existence and a retirement. I don't know about you, but that's like so not acceptable to me. No, we have a job to create the income, to pay the bills so that we have leftover money to buy the assets so that it can replace the job. Now, truth be told, it takes a while to build those assets up. That's why we usually have a job for a while. But given faithfulness, given hard work, given strategically buying assets, well, then when you get to that place, that job becomes a negotiable. I don't think I want to do this job. I don't like what they're requiring, or I don't like the atmosphere. And you can leave and not lose your retirement. Those are things when you talk about understanding how money works, those are the things that we need to begin to realize, wait a minute, don't get trapped into the lie of thinking that you were born to live a work a job until you're 65 or 67 or 70. There are ways that we can shorten the time. And if you don't believe me, ask a millennial. All right. It is so cool. When I'm meeting with a millennial, they come in and we're going to go through the whole process. What are your goals? Tell me what, you know, what are the things good happening in your finances? What are the things bad happening in your finances? If money was no issue, what would you do? You know, the whole gamut, right? So we're talking through this and I always say, so what would be your ideal time to retire? Because that's what we're going to shoot for. We might not be able to make it depending upon their discipline, their job, and different things in life that we don't know. But hey, let's shoot for the ideal. 9 times out of 10, no lie, there are somewhere between the age of 50 and 55 that they want to retire. Very seldom. I'm trying to think, I'm racking my brain. If there's any millennial I've met with that says, oh, I'm going to wait till 67 and work this job. Mm-mm. They're like, I want to figure out how to buy real estate and investments. I want to figure out how to create passive income, residual income, so that I can be done at 50. And it is so cool because once they understand that, then the next thing that we do is we say, okay, well, then what's your income? And then now what's your expenses? And here's the deal. It's not that this millennial generation, even though they do make good money, but it's not about who makes the most money. It's about who is the best in keeping the most money. You know, we've heard those stories, right? Of someone passes away and they were a librarian, or they were, you know, worked in the grocery store and they were doing the bagging and, you know, not huge amount of money. And yet they leave millions to their favorite, you know, university or their church or wherever, because they were very frugal in what they did. I guess that's my point. As we begin to talk about the mechanical processes of creating wealth, yes, we'll talk about the other components, emotional and spiritual, but we do have to have the mechanical processes of understanding how much money do you make and what are your expenses, and then how much can be used to buy an asset. And here's probably where we're going to focus on till we, you know, at till the close, is that we need to understand the difference between that asset and the liability, because people are buying liabilities thinking, oh, this is great. I've got an asset. And when I retire, this will be good. Okay, here's a great example. It's a silly example and it shows my age, but there'll be those who bought, how many of you remember the Cabbage Patch dolls that were going for hundreds of dollars? And people literally spent thousands upon thousands making it, because when they retired, they'd be able to sell them. So now let me ask you, was that really an asset that could generate money on its own, or a liability? That was a liability. Or how about people that say, hey, I just bought a new snowmobile. I've got an asset. Yep, I'm going to count that as an asset. Well, unless you're using the snowmobile to give rides that you're being paid for, or you're racing where you can go ahead and create some prize money from it, then typically your snowmobile is a liability. It literally takes money from you. It eats you, right? So an asset will feed you. A liability will eat you. It eats the resources. And so as you begin to look at something, begin to look at it and say, will this create me income? If it doesn't, it doesn't mean you don't get it. Okay. So I don't want to start thinking like, oh, you never get anything. No, I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is when you go to make that purchase of the swim spa or the snowmobile or the four wheeler or whatever collectible item you want, you need to do it with intention and say, okay, I realize I'm taking resources that could be used for an asset that will give me passive income for the future so that I don't have to work at this job forever. I'm going to take money that could be buying me that, and I'm going to spend it over here on something that's going to use up my money. Now, there is a balance. You do, in my opinion, having those different things in life that make the journey fun along the way, I think they're important. I love going boating. I love swimming in a swim spa. But these are things that have to be at the right time and calculated properly. Many people say, oh, I've worked so hard, so I'm just going to go buy this because I deserve it. Thank you, L'Oreal, for teaching us that. But what we have to understand, there is actually also a time frame to do it. And when you look at it, you get the job, you get the income. And first thing you need to do, are you paying all your expenses? Yes, kudos to you. We're going to go to the next step. No, you're not able to pay all your expenses. Okay, let's pivot. Let's go ahead. Let's reduce our expense of any way possible. Let's go ahead and increase our income any way legally possible. Or if we can't, because there's so much credit card debt that you're just drowning in, then maybe that's the time where you're going to have to sell something and say, okay, well, I'm going to sell one of these liabilities that I have and be able to pay off the debt. Okay, but now let's pretend that you're at that place where you're okay, I've got income. I can pay all my expenses. Now I can go ahead and I can focus on creating either assets or liabilities. And my encouragement to you would be begin focusing on buying assets. And to do that, I would encourage you to give our office a call at 518-433-7181. And let's talk about building wealth. Let's talk about what are the steps you need to do in order to create wealth. And we create wealth by creating assets that eventually will replace the job so that you have a stream of income coming in and you're not dependent on going to a 9-to-5 job. So we are at the end of our time together. Our time flies by. I want to encourage you to join me next week. We're going to continue our discussion about creating wealth and understanding how money works. Eventually, we'll get into the financial mindset and the spiritual mindset, but I've got some more I'd like to reveal here. So join me again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you. And God bless. This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.